Okay, so last time we discussed a non-corona related topic takes us all the way back to before Purim, but I thought it's probably time to branch out again and return to the Parsha. So in Parshas Ramos Kedoshim, we have the Isser of Lifnei Iver, which we've discussed in various contexts in the past, but I want to focus tonight on Lifnei Iver in the context of Shiduchim. Before we do that, we have to take a step back and discuss some of the more general parameters of Lifnei Iver, which you may have touched on in the past, just to set the framework. And before we do that, there is a little bit of a discussion as to the permissibility of the Meshadech non-Jews. Is there any problem in setting up a non-Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman? Then the Chuvas Chavis Yar Simon Kuf Pehei. He writes that he has a Kabbalah not to be Meshadech Nachrim, and Ramazadavar lo sishatein, which means that you shouldn't marry Nachrim, but the Ramazadavar that you shouldn't set up Nachrim either. He doesn't exactly explain what the issue is. He quotes Achronim on both sides of the issue. In the Hagos of Rav Shlomo Kluger, Chachma Shlomo Eben Ezra Simon Kaf Aleph, he has a brief comment in which he says that setting up Nachrim would constitute being goreim niyuf, and it's problematic for that reason. I believe there's a story told about Reb Chaim. I'm not sure what the source is, so it's possible I'm getting a detail wrong, but I believe the story was that someone went to Reb Chaim and suggested that there should be no objection to setting up a non-Jewish woman who is incapable of having children with a non-Jewish man, because the presumption of that conversation was that the problem being Meshadech is that you're going to bring more Nachum into the world. And in that situation, they're not going to bring any children into the world because the woman is not fertile. So Reb Chaim apparently responded that no, it would be better to... The story was that he wanted to be Meshadech an infertile woman with an infertile man. And Reb Chaim responded, it would be better to be Meshadech the infertile woman with a fertile man and the infertile man with a fertile woman. So that way you'd have two couples that aren't capable of bringing more Nachum into the world. Which reminds us of a story of the Sar Shalom of Belz, the first Belz Rebbe, who apparently remarked when he was young, someone asked, what was the big deal that Mordechai saw to it to see that Bigson and Seresh would be eliminated? So if they would have killed Achashverosh, what's the difference to get rid of this Nachri or that Nachri? So he responded that no, if they would have gotten rid of Achashverosh, that would have been getting rid of one Nachri, and here he was able to get rid of both Nachrim, two Nachrim, Bixan and Seresh. So be that as it may, a little bit of discussion of Shiduchim for Nachrim, but our focus will be on Shiduchim for non-religious or irreligious Jews. So as far as the general parameters of Lifnei Iver, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Davav lays out in the context of the Isser Hashata of Avram and Achai ben Noach, Kos Yai Lenozir, that there's a distinction between Chad Avri Denari and Trey Avri Denara. So the way Tosfos understands that if you give the Kos Yai Lenozir and he's capable of having gotten the Kos on his own, they're on the same side of the riverbank, and you're maybe making it slightly easier for him, but he could have done it just as well on his own. That's not a violation of Lifnei Iver. The real violation of Lifnei Iver is betray Avri Denari if the Nazir is on the other side of the riverbank and he would have no way of accessing the cup of wine if not for your assistance. That's definitely Lifnei Iver. And the Ran there, Daf Aleph Amid Beis B'Daf Be'Arif, comments that even where there's no violation of Lifnei Iver D'Araisa, but there's still an Isser Misayeya D'Rabbanan. Lashon Aran, Sharei Mechuyav Hu Lafrisha Me'Isser, that you're obligated to be Mafrish the other individual Me'Isser. So how can he be misayayid yidei ovrei avera? That seems to be the position of Tosas and Shabbos daf gimlam and aleph dira maschil beba as well in the context of Hotzah. And Tosas there in Avodah Zarah and that sugya of Avam Abayz assumes that no, b'chad avra denara, there's no iser at all. There isn't even an iser lifnei iver derabana. It seems that this is today in the Raman Shulchan Aruch Yaradeya Simon Kufnun aleph Se'if Aleph, Kufnun Aleph, Se'if Aleph. Let me try to pull it up on the screen here. sorry. That's there we go. Yeah, so the Rama writes, Yoredei Asimin Kuf Nun Aleph Seif Aleph Yesh Omrim Hada Asar Limkar Lehem Dvarma Shayachim Lavodasam Hainu Dafkim Ein Lehem Achayim Kayosebo. So in the context of selling accessories for Avodah Zarah, that's only Asar if they have no ability to access the object on their own. Shelo Yuchlu Liknos B'makam Acher. If they could buy somewhere else, much or limkor lahem called over, then there's no violation. Meish machmirim, v'nagul lahakel kasvar rishona, v'chol bal nefesh yachmir la'atma. So the pashas is that these kedayas in the Rama are arguing about this point, whether there is an iser misayeya derabanan, even bechad avir dinara, even where the person could have theoretically accessed the forbidden object on his own. The shach there in Sifkatan Vav thinks that's not the case. The Yirad of a Machlok is to that extreme. He thinks that everyone agrees, the context of the Rama here is by Akum. The Rama thinks everyone agrees, that the shach thinks that everyone agrees that there's no Isser Misayaya when it comes to an Akum, when it comes to a Mumer. Isser Misayaya, even according to the Ran, only applies to another Yisrael. Because the Ran said you have to be Mafrish Misuras. And Mafrish Misuras is the responsibility we have towards other Jews, not towards Nachrim. And the Isser Misayaya only applies to a Yisrael, but not to an Akum, and not to a Mumer. The Dogam Revava argues halfway. He acknowledges or is willing to accept what the Shach says about an Akum, but he doesn't think it's true for your run-of-the-mill Mummer. Even by a Mummer, there still is an obligation lahafrisho. However, if it's a person who violates an aver b'mezid, so then there's no chiyuv lahafrisho. So the Yisra Misayeh, according to the Dogma Rvava, would apply to a Mummer if he's not mezid per se on this specific Isser, but does not apply if someone's doing an Isser b'mezid. And the Magen Avraham in Shin Mem Zayin Sifkat and Dal, in the context of renting out something that might be used for Malach on Shabbos by Machal Shabbos, Magen Avraham there assumes that the Isser Misayeya applies to Mummer as well. In that way, he argues on the Shach. So it turns out that it's probably a Machlokes, the Magen Avraham of the Shach, whether the Isser Misayeya applies to a Mummer. Okay, with that introduction, let's go on to our topic for this evening, which is Misayeya in the context of being Mishadik, people who might violate an Isser Nida, people who are not going to be living a halachic lifestyle. So the Nitziv was asked, the Shaila Chuvas Meshav Davar Chelik Beis Simen Lamed Beis, Sha'ela, imudr lezavig isha li'ish asher yiduem heimalovi aveira v'yavro l'sernida. V'afilu ein zekitrei avi dinare, d'yesh b'zem yishib lifna iver, v'kal malkam yisrael asil asayaya over aveira. Afilu ba'ofin she'em b'zem yishib lifna iver. So even if it's not lifna iver, even if someone else will be mishadech them, but isn't that a violation of misayaya li'day over aveira, even if it's considered to be chad Avra Dinara, because you have responsibility for their entering into a lifestyle that's going to involve violating Yisurim. So that is the Shaila that was asked to the Nesiv, Meshav Davar Achele Beis, Simen Lamed Beis. And the Nesiv argues that even according to the Rishonim, that there is an Isser Misayeya, and even if you assume the Isser Misayeya would apply to this class of Ovrei Aveira, number one, there's a certain distance between the act of the Shadchan and the Aveira that will be violated. If it's not, he doesn't use the term lifne, but the Maisa is far removed, the Maisa Aveira, potential Maisa Aveira is far removed in time and location from whatever the Shadchan is doing, The Nesif thinks that that kind of mitigates the potential misayaya. And he argues, quoting various makoros, that b'makom darkei shalom, we're less concerned about an iser misayaya. But therefore, the Nesif concludes that if parnasasa b'kach, he doesn't explain that argument that if it's your parnasa, that also mitigates the misayaya situation, or that's equivalent to darkei shalom. That seems to be the presentation, that just as there are grounds to be makel b'makom darkei shalom and an iser misayaya, that would be true b'makom parnasa as well. In the Sefer Lifnei Iver, this little Sefer over here, written by a Rabbi Yitzchak Eliyahu Cohen Adler of Ofakim, so he analyzes this Nesiv, and he points out maybe that argument is not so pasha that it's considered to be Chad Avra Denara. And Nesiv is implicitly saying that if you're not going to set these people up, someone else will. So that's Chad Avra Denara. Says the Mechaber of the Sefer Lifnei Iver, well, if you live in a society where non-Jewish shadchanim don't set up Jews, then you run into a comment of the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech, Paradalid Malva Velova Halacha Beis, argues that in a situation where the person could access the Aveira without your help, but he can only receive it from another Jew, meaning it's Chad Avra Denara, but the only people on your side of the riverbank are Jewish, then that's still considered to be Lifnei Iver Mamish, not even Misayaya. But the Mishnah Melech argues that would be considered Lifnei Iver Mamish. It's only if the guy can access it without the help of another Jew, because what difference does it make if you help him, another Jew helps him, you're all in it together. So that would still be a violation of Lifnei Iver. So if you're in a situation where the only Shadchanim who could potentially help this individual are Jewish, then according to the Mishnah Melech, that could potentially be Lifnei Iver Mamish. He's mefalpel whether that's true. Do we assume like the Mishnah Melech? Is the application necessarily correct? But then he has another observation. That leaving aside the Mishnah Melech, it's possible that Shiduchim are considered like Trey Avra Denara. Sorry, that Shiduchim are considered like Chad Avra Denara for the following reason. He points to a Tshuva, the Chavis Yair. Chavis Yair Simen Kuf Pei Hei. The Chavis Yair writes as follows. The context there is about providing non-kosher food and shatnis to a non-Jewish business partner who happens to be married to a Jewish mumeres. The Chavis Yair writes there, Kuf Pei Hei, Hilafini Yistaiti Dizek Lalahu, to call Hecha de Sharinan Mibnei Svara, so that argument that if it's accessible elsewhere, it's not a violation of Lifnei Iver, Hainu dafka b'sheyeshno b'mitzias l'rov. Eich sheyuvukash ubli torach. That's only if it's readily available on the market and doesn't require any particular effort to obtain. V'lachein afim nomer d'shari limkor bega kalayim shatnis, v'usha osa schora atmo shatnis, v'hu golem eino malbush, so it would only be permissible to sell or to provide shatnis for someone who may violate this shatnis if equivalent shatnis is readily available on the market. So there's no shatnis available in town. He could travel to the next town and get it, but you're the only available shatnis merchants in town. So in that situation, that's considered to be trey avre denara. So trey avre denara doesn't mean, or chad avre denara doesn't mean that you potentially could access it somewhere. It means that you could access it easily and conveniently. So any time where the person providing the illegal usher substance is saving the recipient time and effort in doing so, that's considered to be trey avre denara, and that's considered to be a violation of lifnei iver l'kulei alma. So says the Chavis Yair in Simen Kuf Pei Hei. So
What if you hold like the Shita in Tosas and Ksuvos that holds that bias akum is yahagli v'yavor, and the situation you're setting the person up so that the person would have a less chamor iser potentially of the iser of nida, whatever it might be, rather than assimilation.
Good. So we'll get to that point in a few minutes. Very good. Shtur mecha, something like that, we'll get there soon. Even without the Tosus, that may be, even if you don't assume that level of Chumra Sa'isr, it may still be a true point. Very good, dude. We'll get there in a few moments. So the Sefer Lifnei Iver says that based on this Chavis Yair, it's kind of like the argument of the Stipler as to why the threshold of Kiddushei Tosus is so high. The Stipler in Yevamos and that Sugya of Memhei, of Zilgalia Nasa Basminach, that in the context of Shiduchim, as opposed to a mass-produced car, that if there's some defect with this car, you would just as well buy another car and return this car. But there's so many facets that go into establishing a proper zivug that even if a woman has a certain defect, unless it rises to the level that you would divorce immediately, so that's not grounds for kiddushei tos, because that is not a situation where you would have to disclose such a mum in the context of the shidduch, because there are many other factors that go into the analysis of what's an appropriate shidduch. So along those lines, he says, yeah, it's true that maybe you'll find another shadchan who can make a shidduch, but who's to say that would be the right person for you? So we're dealing with a limited market, so to speak, no ease of access. So even if theoretically there are other shadchan in the world, that may still be considered to be Trey Avri Dinara. So the bottom line, the Sefer Lifnei Iver leaves with the Tzarachian whether this Nitziv is necessarily accepted La Halacha. Deborah Tziner, Chubas Ber Moshe, Chela K, Simon Tzadi Zion, in a very brief line, assumes as a Dabar Pashut that you're not allowed to be Mishadech, people who are going to violate the Isser Nida. And this recently published Sefer, The Laws of Outreach by Rabbi Avram Edelstein, he quotes as well as much from Chaim Kanievsky. However, back to Yehuda's point, Rav Sternbach has a number of considerations that he points out may give sufficient grounds to a more liberal approach. Chelek Aleph Simen Tav Shin Lamed. So he writes, Hashayla kamuvan sheyadua begavda shebishum ofed lo tinasei l'adam dati. So there's no way that she's going to marry a frum guy. So if you're not going to set her up with another Jew, she could intermarry. Is she violating Isser Nida now? Is she a Mufkeres? In which case, you're not really making things any worse. So he says, Hine, Hamachatin Goyim of Devar Zara Echon Hasheni. So he quotes the Chavis Yari referenced earlier, who says that chas v'shalom, that's going to lead to bad things for the family of the shadchan, that the kids are going to be mishumadim. That's a problem of lotinaf. He says, nira shakol tali b'kavana, shara mitzvah lo yeda davera. Im kavanaso, sorry. I went too fast. Kol tali b'kavana. Im kavanos rak l'tov v'l'mitzvah. You have the right intentions. Ve'im b'zem b'shem trei avi dinara. Matzi lo sabazeh shel aleri l'ber shachas yoser. So maybe you're being bochus a rabbi miyuto, and you're saving her from worse. V'alkei nira de'im b'zeh iser el rak mitzvah de'im b'sarach al tesale. U'ma o'ch u'la yargishu shechayav lo toda v'yasu b'tshuva. So maybe they'll, instead of giving shadchanis gelt, they'll give a better present than be chazer b'tshuva out of hakar satov. Ubelisi was eli yesh lagdin tuva lesser gamitzad shem baal mufkar ol hafkir gamasam lichbas leisha tizne, v'avtishi eshes hishkara. So if they're going to be married v'chub v'kiddushin, so then potentially things could be worse. So she's going to be mezanis an eshes hish. That's of much greater consequence than if she'd be mezanis a penuya. But Rosh Sternberg says that if you see that in putting together such a shidduch, there's a possibility that you're going to push them in the right direction, either save them from worse, or maybe they'll have some misoris to do tshuva, then he doesn't think there's any concern of lifnei iver or misayeya. Along those lines, in that English sefer I just mentioned, he quotes from Rav Asher Weiss that nowadays, we're in the world at large, most people don't see a need to get married in order to have intimate relationships. You're not really doing anything in the realm of lifnei iver misayeya because they don't need the shidduch in order to violate whatever iser nida or worse they may be violating. So at a certain time in history, this might have been a relevant discussion. But nowadays, given the society in which we live, it's rare to find a case where setting up irreligious Jews who are going to potentially violate iser nida is going to create a situation worse than the status quo without that. The corollary issue is, what about being misader kiddushin for such a couple? So setting them up is one thing. Misader kiddushin potentially is closer to the Aveira. So in that sefer Lifnei Iver, he quotes an article from Rabbi Yaakov Meskin, who was a rav in Burlington, Vermont, a couple generations ago, prior to Bernie Sanders. So he argues there that based on the Mishnah Lamelech that we quoted earlier, the Mishnah Lamelech who said that if the only way of accessing something is by a Jew, then that's always going to be considered a violation of Lifnei Iver, even if it's Chad Avra Dinara. So he says, who's going to be Mesadar Kedushin? So you won't be Mesadar Kedushin. Another Jew is going to be Mesadar Kedushin. So according to the Mishnah Lamelech, that should constitute a violation of Lifnei Iver. Sride Eish, Chelek Aleph Simin Sadi Gimel in the new edition, and Chelek Gimel Simin Kaf Ches in the old edition. Sride Eish in the new edition totally changed all these citations, and there's no way of figuring out any logical correspondence without the code, the key. But anyway, the Sride Eish there, Chelek Aleph Simin Sadi Gimel in the new edition, in addressing this question to be Mesadar Kedushin for irreligious Jews, quotes that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld was very machmir about this, that he would not be Mesadar Kedushin unless at least he could ascertain that the Kala went to the mikvah before the chuppah, so it wouldn't be a chuppah snida, and at least they start out their relationship on the right foot, even if he didn't know what would happen after that. And the Sri Yesh writes that that was his practice as well. And he tells a story that once there was a young couple that were in the university and they very much wanted him to be Mesadar Kedushin, but he refused to do so unless they committed to Taharas HaMishpacha. And they wanted him to be Mesadar Kedushin so much that they agreed. And even many years later, they still kept to the commitment, even though they were not living an otherwise religious lifestyle, they kept to the commitment of Taharas HaMishpacha. So Sfidi Yesh writes that, you see, if you play your cards properly, you could potentially have a positive hashpa on people in this situation. But he still says, if push comes to shove, he doesn't think that there's necessarily a violation of Lifnei Iver or Misayeya, especially if these people are going to be living together either in civil marriage or without Chuppah V'Kiddushin, anyway, as husband and wife, so you're not really bimisaye to the iser of nida because they're going to violate that iser nida anyway. And Chelkas Yaakov, also in Switzerland, Evan Ezra Simon Ayin Hey Yaakov Breisch, has a similar approach under where necessary that you could entertain bimisaye kedushin under such circumstances. Arguing, among other things, that, well, if you're not going to be Mesadar Kedushin, then they'll go to the Reform Rabbi, and have the Reform Rabbi be Mesadar Kedushin, and their connection to observance will be even less. Counter-argument to that is maybe they taka should go to the Reform Rabbi, because if they're going to go to the Orthodox Rabbi, and the Orthodox Rabbi is going to be Mesadar Kedushin, forget about the Isser Nida, what's going to happen if they get divorced and no one cares about a get, and they had an Orthodox wedding and she's going to meet another guy, and that'll create mamzerus. So that's the strong argument against not allowing civil marriage in Eretz Yisrael. There is something to be said for having chuppah v'kiddushin, but there's a lot to be said for not having chuppah v'kiddushin, because if you have people that aren't going to commit to a get in the event that the marriage dissolves, then according to most, far better that they should not be married with chuppah v'kiddushin. So aside from the lifnei iver issues here, that's another consideration that is part of the mix. Rav Sternbach, on this point, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Tuf, Ayin, Zayin. So he addresses this issue that, or this point, that, well, if you don't do it, then they're going to be living together the Isser anyway. So he makes the following observation, which is consistent with some of what we've been saying until now. Just pulling it up. So he writes at the end of that tshuva, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Tav, Ayin, Zayin, V'nir Bezed Davar Chiddush, which based on the way we presented it is not such a chiddush, but he means counterintuitive. She'im heim shomei Shabbos, Alkol panim b'far hesya, Rach shalei yishmer taras ha-mishpacha, Ha'esir l'sadilem kiddushin chamer yoser. That if they're otherwise somewhat observant, so then, if they're not going to commit to Taras HaMishpacha, then that's a more chamer issa to be Mesadu Kedushin. Sha'idea Nesu'in Mekarvim Yoser Me'asher Kodim V'lochein Oser. Lomi Bayim Kodim Nesu'in Nisharin Zebezeh Rakedei Nesu'in Garim B'yachad. U'vizal Yidei Shemasiyam Enam Afishim Mekarvim. But even if not, if they're generally within the rubric, then they're not considered Mumrim, and they're being issa Misayaya, Lukulyama, leaving aside the Shach versus the Dagam Rivava. So, two problems. If they're, you know, he wrote this tshuva, I think, in the South African days. In the beginning, the context was that there was a Gabbai who insisted that the Rav be Mesadu Kedushin for the kids and didn't want anyone else to do it. So, Rosh Hashanah says that gives you a lot of leverage if he wants you to do it anyway to insist on certain guidelines and certain parameters, ground rules, before being Mesadu Kedushin. He says that if the people are within the observant orbit, but not fully observant, they're not going to keep Taras HaMishpacha. So number one, they're the kind of traditional people that maybe would have lived together outside of marriage, in which case you're causing the Isser, or bringing the Isser closer. And number two, that they're arguably not Mumrim, and the dispensation that there's no Misayaya for a Mumr wouldn't apply in that case. And the Sefer Lifnei Iver quotes another svara to be mekel from someone who wrote an article in Apartheid 70 years ago that maybe in the context of being Mesadu Kedushin, that's not really Lifnei Iver and Misayaya, because you don't need a Mesadu Kedushin to be halachically married. Leaving aside the issue of Kala B'lo Bracha, Asur L'Baila, but strictly speaking, on a Mikradin before Tarkanos Chazal level, if you have two Edim, so then push comes to shove, that's a valid Nizuin. So the Mesadu Kedushin is helpful, but it's not absolutely necessary to effect a proper Nizuin. One last point. The Nitziv in the Meshav Davar had said that in the context of Shiduchim, there are more grounds to be Mekel if it's your Parnasa. Ramosha, Evan Ezra, Chelik Dalid, Simon Pezayan, is a little bit not convinced that necessarily applies to be Mesadu Kedushin. If you're going to get paid for it, does that give you full license to be Mesadu Kedushin without any ground rules? But he does conclude that in the American scene, at a time where the expectation of the community rabbi, the show rabbi, is that he's going to be Mesadu Kedushin for everyone, and if he refused to be Mesadu Kedushin for people that don't keep Taras HaMishpach, he's going to lose his job. So it sounds like Rav Moshe doesn't think that you have to lose your job over it. In that the English Sefer, he quotes from Rav David Cohn in an address at a NJOP convention, that nowadays, just as we quote as far as that people live together outside of marriage and the Shachanis issue, so in this context as well, that if you're going to get paid for it anyway, or if this is your parnasa, so then just as the nitziv was matir shadchadus, if it's your parnasa, he would be matir this as well. And he thinks that's really the kavanas and nitziv to allow for bimisar the kedushin here as well. So just to conclude, there does seem to be significant grounds lukula, and definitely in the contemporary situation on the shadchana shayla, and even on the misayda kedushin shayla. As far as the lifna ivra on hilchas nida, depending on the situation, there may be grounds to be meiko. But I think the bigger issue in the misayda kedushin for people who are not religious is what's going to happen if there's no get, whether it needs to be a get, and that's a strong reason to be very reluctant to be Masada Kedushin for people who are not within the religious orbit. Maybe we'll conclude as we've been doing with the Kapitel Tillim.